to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sairam and greetings from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the entire universe. It is 11:45 Indian Standard Time and today is 30th of July 2015. The weather here is very pleasant. A warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Live, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, hosting the segment Service Love in Action. And at the very outset, dear listeners, let us all collectively offer our most humble pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet, the voice and the listener of Radio Psy Global Harmony. Today I would like to take this opportunity to talk a few lines about a wonderful personality and a humble devotee of Bhagavan who has merged at Bhagavan's lotus feet on 27th of this month, Bharat Ratna Dr. Aul Pakir Jainulabdin APJ Abdul Kalam, who was the 11th President of India from 2002 to 2007. A career scientist turned politician, Kalam was born and raised in Rameshwaram, Tamil Nadu, and studied physics and aerospace engineering. Dr. Kalam has visited Puttaparthi several times and is no stranger to Baba's life and mission. In fact, Dr. Kalam was in fact the chief guest on the occasion of the convocation ceremony of Sri Satya Institute of Higher Learning in the year 2002. And in that speech, he said, and I quote, "Is value-based education possible? Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning has given an answer in affirmative," unquote. Well, dear listeners, isn't that awesome? Dr. Kalam was a chief guest of honor for the convocation ceremony of Sri Satya Institute of Higher Learning, also for the second time in November 2002. Well, it was always a beautiful sight to watch the close interactions between Swami and Dr. Kalam. Bhagwan's love for this much-respected scientist turned statesman was copious and obvious. And the former president of India, on his part, was humility personified. Having watched Swami at close quarters on a number of occasions and also having keenly witnessed the unfolding of his mission, that is Bhagwan's mission, Dr. Kalam perhaps is one among those who are best equipped to comment on Bhagwan's work. And I quote, "Can there be a better role model than Baba for promoting a nationwide, selfless and societal transformation mission?" Unquote. This was told by Dr. Kalam in a thought-provoking article that the Hindustan Times published on April 22, 2011. Dear listeners, on behalf of all of you, we at Radio Psy humbly salute to this man of God, master of science, missile man of India, Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam. Let his soul rest in peace. Coming back to the segment, dear listeners, Service Love in Action. Last week, if you're there with me, you may be aware that I had played for you a conversation. In fact, that was the second part of the conversation with Mr. Brijesh Bamalwa, a member of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization from the Indian state of West Bengal. And today you will be listening to the third part of the conversation. And in this conversation, he shares about the various service activities in which Bhagwan's devotees are involved in through the Sai organization. Have a listen, please.
Sairam sir, greetings and a warm welcome once again. Thank you for joining us again. In fact, in the previous session, you had told us about the various service activities that Swami's devotees in West Bengal are involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And the most outstanding activity that I felt were the Ganga Sagar Mela activity, where Swami's devotees go every year for about a week and clean the night soil in the beach. And the other activity, that is the Dum Dum Railways project, right, sir?
Correct.
Yeah,
Dum Dum, 365 days Dum Dum Metro Railway project.
In that, volunteers go every morning from 6:30 to 8:30 to the railway platform and give breakfast to the children there, right, sir?
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening from 2001, that is for more than 10 years, right?
Yeah, this is the 13th year.
So now I want to ask you, sir, like, what inspires these volunteers to take up these service activities? What is the motivation?
Look, the greatest motivation, we all know, is Swami himself. That is the greatest motivation. But it is very important to sustain that motivation throughout.
Yes, that commitment is required.
Absolutely. We generally see, it is felt that many youngsters or many devotees, they come and participate in the activities of the organization with great zeal in the beginning. They show a great amount of enthusiasm. But gradually that enthusiasm and zeal gets on decreasing.
Mm.
And they slowly become extinct and very, inactive as far as the activities are considered. So what I feel is this is again Swami's, phenomenon, because he keeps on testing his devotees every time, at every step. And that's why I personally believe that whenever we are involved in any work, be it service activities, be it whatever it is, we have to do it with that amount of perfection as would be acceptable to God.
Mm.
And we can't have a personality in the organization, a different personality in office, and a different personality when I'm in family. If we do that, then we are inviting trouble for ourselves. Because he would put you in such a trap that you're bound to fail. You can fool others. You can't fool yourself, and certainly you cannot dare to fool Swami.
Mm.
He knows everything. So we always stress on one aspect, that obviously these projects which we are doing, some occasional activities, some sporadic activities, big events are happening. But it is very important to regularly involve one into constant service activities. It is not the magnitude of the work which is important, or the service activity which is important. It is your regular involvement in the service activity. That is very important to bring about transformation, and that is the essence of the organization. We put stress on regular activities, and we try our best to create work avenues such that every member in the organization gets an opportunity to involve himself in one way or the other.
Hmm.
Maybe it could be setting up the mic during a bhajan session, coming and putting up garland on Swami's photograph, or big events like cleaning public urinals, whatever it is. So we try to put stress on regular activities, which keeps the motivation sustained. If we just do one project and then we sit down for 2 months, it is of no use. Mm. At that point of time, your motivation and enthusiasm would be at your peak, but it would not sustain forever and forever.
Mm.
So we put stress. A lot of people, they do ask that, what is important? So why do we need to do these service activities? We are doing bhajan, nagar sankirtan, everything we are doing japa and dhyana. Then what is the need of service activities? I personally believe that this organization is a unique gift of Swami, probably the greatest miracle,
yes,
of Swami, to bring about transformation in everybody who is involved in the organization. And the organization has got three wings: the spiritual wing, the education wing, and the service wing. So it's a complete package. You can't take any wing in isolation. Okay, I just want to do study circles because I like it. You like it, you attend it, but you should not discard the other two wings. The essence of all these three wings is, as Swami has explained, that whatever spiritual knowledge you have learned, the education wing provides knowledge, the spiritual wing provides a spiritual inspiration and spiritual activities, and service wing is concerned with service activities. So, a spiritual knowledge earned should be put into practice in form of service. Until and unless this cycle is complete, your journey is not complete. Transformation is not going to happen. So service is the culmination of everything that Swami wants us to do. I may be a very big pundit, I may be a scholar in the scriptures, but if I don't transform my knowledge into action, which is motivated by love in form of service, it's a half circle. It does not get completed. So in order to complete this journey, service has to be done. This has been emphasized by Swami time and again, and almost the essence of every discourse which Swami has given. He has spoken mostly on rendering service to fellow beings, transforming your love in form of service.
Yes.
That is the essence. And the other aspect is that many youngsters might question, as I was discussing yesterday, what is the need of service at this point of time? We can defer it. And I explained it yesterday.
Mm.
I was actually contemplating on it, and I realized one thing, that this is the only path. This is the only path. Either you take to this path today or tomorrow. It is your choice. But ultimately you can't escape from this path, because Swami has said that the purpose of human birth is to know how not to be born again.
Yes.
It's the realization, it's the transformation which results in self-realization, where I become one with He, or I travel from myself to myself. And service is the only way. If we don't involve ourselves in work, that transformation is not going to happen. If we restrict only to knowledge, bookish knowledge, lectures, talks, we are only befooling ourselves and wasting time. So service is of paramount importance. It, as we say, it's a purnahuti.
Yes.
In a yagna. Whatever we do, without the purnahuti, the yajna is not considered to be complete. It's a purnahuti.
Hmm.
It has to be done. Either you do it today, tomorrow, day after. You can't escape from it. This cycle of birth and death would not leave you unless and until you involve in service to your fellow being and achieve self-realization.
Hmm. Nicely said. Now, in the changed circumstance, when Swami's physical presence is not there, so how are the West Bengal Sevadas devotees coming up to service activities? How are they getting involved themselves?
Very interesting question which you have put, and I have also heard people getting worried, okay, now Swami is not physically there, so what is the use of going to Prashantinilayam? What is the use of coming to the organization and everything? Because for few people, organization was a means of connecting to Swami. It was a way to Swami.
Yes, yes. Hmm.
And now when your destination, some people think when the destination is not there, what is the use of coming to the organization?
Hmm.
So they are mistaken. Because the destination, Swami did not create this organization to help people to reach to this physical form which he had adorned. The destination is real Swami, which we fail to understand. And in West Bengal, by Swami's grace, the result after post-samadhi, it's not that the organization has shrunk. It has in fact grown. We have seen, we have witnessed inflow of lot of new devotees, lot of new persons into the organization. The reason I believe is that we have always stressed, as Swami has emphasized, on being dear to Swami, not only being near to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
If you only seek nearness to Swami, then it's not sure whether you're dear to Swami or not. It's only Swami who can actually testify or comment whether you are dear to me or not. And in order to be dear to Swami, you have to involve yourself and you have to take to the path which Swami has wanted you to take. I can be a very good bhajan singer. I come Prashantinilayam. I am very, very near to Swami. I sing. Swami blesses me and everything. That is fine. That is my prarabdha. He is giving me. But on the other side, what is happening? My assets are decreasing. My liabilities are increasing.
Mm-hmm.
So being a chartered accountant, I always, whenever I actually meet youth, I try to translate this into practical terms. And I always put stress that always keep your assets heavier. In the accounting parlance, assets and liabilities always match. But in the spiritual accounting terminology, I would say, you should always keep your assets heavier than liabilities.
Mm.
So by asset, I mean whatever you have given to Swami, that is your asset, and whatever you have received from Swami is your liability.
Mm.
So don't increase your liability. Always try to give to Swami. And Swami has always said that you give what I need, that is your heart. So in West Bengal, the impact has not been negative, and people are increasing, new people are coming, and they are being explained that it is only through work that you can achieve Swami.
Mm.
Do his work, follow his teaching, follow his command, and be truthful, be righteous. That's all Swami wants. And time and again, he has given testimony that he's always there.
Mm.
If you talk to any people, every individual has got his unique story with Swami. And if we start documenting them, probably time would fall short.
Yes.
And other thing which I want to also emphasize when it comes to the Sai organization, we also need to make sure that people understand the concept of the organization very well. And when I say this, and when I say that Sai organization is a very unique organization, my intent is not to demean other organization. My only intent is to bring to light the significance and uniqueness of Sai organization. The first thing, I have seen many organizations, but this is the only organization where there is no class.
Okay.
Which does not make any distinction on the basis of religion, caste, color, creed.
Mm.
And importantly, there is no class. It's a classless organization. For example, I am a chartered accountant. I may be boss in my office. And I have a staff who is also a Sai devotee and a member of the organization. My staff, who's my subordinate, could be my district president in Sai organization, and I may be an ordinary member.
Yes.
So this class is not there.
Mm.
This is the uniqueness of this organization. Secondly, this is the only organization where people come, participate and spend money from their own pockets out of their own wish to do good to others.
Yes. They won't receive anything. There's no monetary benefit.
There is no monetary benefit, but why they come is because they realize the other benefits which they are receiving.
Mm, yes.
I will come to that point very shortly.
The real benefit actually.
The real benefits. I'll come to that point very shortly. And lastly, to my mind, this is the only organization which an avatar has set up during his lifetime on earth.
That's very true. That's very true.
There is no other organization in the world which has been set up by an avatar for his devotees to reach or realize him.
Mm.
If you take example of other organizations, they have been all set up after the avatar has left his physical frame, or people, the leaders who have left the physical frame.
Mm.
This is the only organization. And the uniqueness, a lot of people ask me, you say that your organization, Sri Satya Sai, it's a seva organization, but you call it as a spiritual organization. What does that mean? The answer to that question is, service bereft of spirituality is not service.
Mm.
So, to explain it further, the spirituality is motivational force behind service, and service is fulfillment of spirituality. One is incomplete without the other.
Yes.
It is only when both converge together, you get the real benefit. And that is why we in organization say that we don't call it seva.
Mm.
Whether it is seva or not, that Swami is to decide. He is the jury. We call it service, work. And whatever service we do, it's a spiritual service. And you may question, what do you mean by spiritual service? I have normally heard terminology say social service.
Yes.
At the end of the day, you are doing service, rendering service to the people of the society. So it's a social service.
Mm.
But it is not that. It is spiritual service, and how it differs from social service is that in social service, the recipient of the service is benefited. While in case of spiritual service, the person who renders the service is benefited.
Yes, that's right.
So the impact which service has on the person who does the service activity is important. It's just like that Swami Vivekananda gave a very beautiful example that you keep cow to have the milk, not the cow dung. But when you keep cow, in addition to milk, you also get cow dung, which is also useful.
Yes.
But you never keep cow to get the cow dung. So cow dung is a byproduct. We have to keep our eyes on the essence, that is the milk, the transformation which service has on myself, that is the milk. Whatever benefits others receive is cow dung. So the focus is here. Coming to the gains and benefits of the of participating in the organization activity, and this also I want to address when I talk in the context of youth, because nowadays everybody is considered with what would I gain. Everybody is bothered about gains, whatever gains it is. So sometimes I tell to youth, I can't say whether you would gain something or not, but you would certainly lose something. He said, how come if I go to organization, why if I have to lose something, why should I go to the organization? So the answer is that you would lose your ego. You would lose your anger. You would lose the sense of superiority. You would lose your individuality. You would become one with many. You would become more humble. You would become a better human being. So all those qualities which are restriction in your becoming a proper human being, you are going to lose that. And when we talk of gains, we can certainly characterize the gains into two points. Looking from materialistic point of view, because every youngster is interested in what materialistic gain or he's going to get. Nowadays what is happening, there are a lot of consulting organizations which have come up who conduct personality development workshop. And they charge handsome amount of money from each participant, which ranges in thousands. I have seen people attending such workshops at the cost of around 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 rupees for 2 or 3 days. To me, this organization is the greatest workshop for personality development.
Yes.
Because the exposure one gets here is invaluable. Talk from any quality, be it planning, be it organizing, be it people's skills, be it development of sense of responsibility, teamwork, leadership skills, soft skills, whatever you want to talk, whatever you can think of. If you are sincerely and regularly part and parcel of the activities of the organization, these would gradually come. Certainly you can't achieve these skills by attending a 3 days workshop. This is earned over an effort which is a result of regular practice. And when you involve yourself in the organization, you are bound to actually receive or earn these qualities. I think that this has been my greatest materialistic gain.
Yes.
Because what I was before joining the organization and what I am today after joining the organization, as a result of my association with the organization, I can with conviction say that Sai Organization is the greatest personality development workshop for anybody, for any person from any work stream, from any walk of life.
Can you share, sir, how it has helped you in your professional life?
In fact, whatever I have achieved in my professional life is a result of my association with the Sai Organization. The greatest thing which the organization has taught me is tolerance. I was highly intolerant. When I was of 21, 22, 23 years of age, I was not very much tolerant.
Impatient.
Angry. Short-tempered. Not that I would be insulting to anybody, but that shortness of that temperament, when you get tempered, you lose that your breathing rhythm. But as a part of this organization, when I have always, whenever I have involved myself in the activities, gradually, unknowingly, the impact which it has created upon me, I can now realize when I look back that how is this Brijesh, who was what, when he was 22, 23 years of age, how he has become the present Brijesh. It's a big journey which I can only understand and realize. I can't explain it, but I have this realization. And more importantly, now coming to the spiritual gains which you will get is self-confidence.
Yes.
Self-confidence is the foundation for achieving anything in both your spiritual life or your materialistic life. Thirdly, it's a great platform, or it's a great, what you can say, machinery, which compels you to bring in harmony of head, heart and hands. Whenever you are involved in good work, bad thoughts cannot come to your mind. Your hands cannot do something which is not correct. And your heart would not vouch for actually anything which is harmful to others. So as a matter of regular involvement with this organization, this naturally comes into your lifestyle. So be it you are at office or you are at home or wherever you are, it becomes your nature.
Yes.
It always becomes your nature. Most importantly, when you are associated with this organization, you are bound to be tested by Swami. He has said, at every footstep I am going to test you. And believe me or not, whatever tests He has taken, we think that why is Swami putting us to so many troubles? But every test which you sit for makes you even stronger. So strong, and it gives you so much of strength and courage that even in trying situations, you have that conviction and strength within yourself to stick to the path of truth and righteousness. You don't succumb to the situation. You fight it and you rise above those difficulties. This is the greatest thing which this organization gives. And this quality is required to lead your life. Without this, you cannot become, you would not be able to lead life in present day situation. So, this is what the organization has given me. And as a result of my association with this organization, I can only say that this organization is a most important part of my life. It's just like that if you take out the heart from the body, it is just like that if the organization is taken out from my life is a body without heart.
Yes.
That is my and when I say this, I'm not saying it to impress upon you or to impress upon the listeners. I say with conviction and I say with this with my 100% belief. There are many youngsters. Yesterday you were asking me a question when we met outside, that how do you find time for work for the organization? You don't have to find time. The problem which happens when people give these excuses as to I don't have time, I'm bogged down with that thing. It is when we compartmentalize our schedule. Okay, this is my family work, this is my office work, and this is my organization work. The moment we actually create these compartments, we are inviting troubles and we would never be able to find time. My belief is that whatever and whenever needs to be done, irrespective of any category of work, needs to be done whenever it comes up. So I don't make any distinction whether this is organization's work or this is my personal work, family work or office work. Whatever needs to be done today, needs to be done today. If we take this approach, we would certainly find time and all excuses would cease to exist. And when we give excuses, it is because we are not motivated, we lack commitment, we lack faith, we are not surrendered to God. We talk of surrender, but I don't know how much, when Swami gives us a test, that is the real time when how much hum kitne pani mein hai, how deep are we in water, we really come to know. So I can boast that I totally surrendered to God, but the moment He does some trick, I say, oh, my belief, my faith shakes, and I say, Swami, what is this happening? No, this is not good. Then I break. So if we accept His will, there would be no problem for ourselves in anywhere at any point of life, because I believe that His will is not going to take me to a situation where His grace will not protect me. I think that is all what I can say about my experience with organization, the essence of the organization, and why do we need to do service.
Thank you very much, sir. Like listening to you, the thought that was coming to me was about Swami's hostel. If you take Swami's hostel, Swami's institute, when we are student there, we feel that there are many rules and regulations in the hostel. Get up morning at 5 o'clock, do Omkaram Suprabhatam. So boys generally keep complaining, why all this? Like compared to outside, it's very strict. But only when we pass out of Swami's institution, we come to know how it has changed our life.
Absolutely.
In fact, when we speak to many of the alumni, they say that it's the period when they were student which has changed their life completely. It has taught them a lot of time management skills, teamwork skills, a lot of patience. So such things, we should just follow what Swami says.
Absolutely.
In fact,
absolutely.
Hostel rules are put up by Swami himself, so we should just blindly follow what Swami says.
Correct.
Even in the organization also.
The charter is blessed by Swami.
Yeah.
The rules and regulations are blessed by Swami. And every institution which Swami has created, be it the organization, be it the university, be it the hospital, whatever, all I believe are His tools and machinery to correct us. It's
yes.
an opportunity for us to come near to Him and be dear to Him.
Yes.
And if we don't avail this opportunity, we are losers. As Swami said, the world does not need your service. It would not come to an end without your service. Service is an opportunity for yourself. So let us all grab this opportunity which Swami has given to us and grab it with more conviction, more faith, more commitment, and with the feeling of total surrender that He is the doer, we are just instruments.
Very well said.
Sairam, sir.
Thank you very much for joining us today. And
thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. I am privileged to meet you again. And Sairam,
Sairam.
And I deeply express my gratitude to Swami again and again for keeping me in His fold. Sairam.
Sairam.
Sairam, you just heard an episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai, in which we brought to you part 3 of a 3-part conversation with Mr. Brijesh Bamalwa, the youth coordinator of the Free Sathya Sai Seva organization for the Indian state of West Bengal. In this conversation, he shared with us the different service projects of the Free Sathya Sai Seva organization in West Bengal. Please do send in your feedback. We look forward to your emails. As always, you can write to us at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.
Oh, నిన్న స్మరిస్తున్నాను. నా పిల్లల యొక్క పరిస్థితి నాకు తెలుసు, కానీ మరొక స్థితి నేనెప్పుడూ మీ వెంటనే చెంటనే ఇంటనే ఉంటుంటాను. మీరందరూ కూడా ఐకమత్యంతో పనిచేయండి. నా సీట్ ఇక్కడ కాదు.
భగవాన్ సీట్ ఇస్ నాట్ హియర్.
నా సీట్ మీ యొక్క హృదయమే.
భగవాన్ చైర్ ఇస్ యువర్ హార్ట్.
కనుకనే మీరు ఎక్కడ ఉంటే అక్కడ కూడా స్వామి ఉంటున్నాడు.
స్వామి ఇస్ దేర్ వెరెవర్ యు ఆర్.
ఏ కొరతలు మీకు జరగవు.
నథింగ్ విల్ హ్యాపెన్ టు యు.
ఏ విధమైనటువంటి అపజయాలు మీకు జరగవు.
యు నెవర్ హావ్ ఫెయిల్యూర్.
కానీ పరిపూర్ణమైన విశ్వాసంతో మీరు పనులు ప్రారంభించండి.
వర్క్ విత్ టోటల్ ఫెయిత్.
ఏ పని చేసినా కూడా ఇది భగవత్ కార్యంగా భావించండి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ యూ మే డూ గుడ్ వర్క్ టేక్ ఇట్ ఇస్ గాడ్స్ వర్క్.
మతలబ్ బదలాయా దూ న జానా